This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
If that's the way you talk, let's see how you like a curse spoke upon you. People said, well, God wouldn't do something like that to me. Let me tell you, He will. He did it to Ed Brock. Ed Brock, did Ed Brock suffer? Yes, he suffered. And he suffered for about 6 months, but then he got well. But you know, as Ed and I sat many times talking about this thing, you know, when we looked at those scriptures, he said, Thurman, when I asked God, why did this terrible disease come upon me? He said, I took my Bible and I dropped it on its back cover and it opened to Psalm 106. He said, when I got to verse 15, I knew he was talking to me. The Holy Spirit convicted him. I said, so you served him 1 or 2 days a week, and the rest you served the world. He said, you could say that. I said, that's why you got sick. He said, well, I would never say that to anybody. I would never give a testimony and tell that. But I said, that's why you got sick. Does God expect for us to serve Him? Did He say for us to put Him first in everything we do? Everything we do, He's supposed to be number one. Now, just like Rosemary and David, she had no problem saying, hey, he better not come home 364 days a year to me and then 1 day a year to somebody else, had he, Rosemary? He's a 365 and a quarter a year man for you, right? Absolutely. And he has been for a lot of years, hasn't he? But praise God. We don't, like I said, we don't have a problem with that. But when it comes to God, we just give Him the leftovers and wonder why He gets upset. Wonder why sickness and disease comes to the church. Wonder why we're tormented. And we don't give Him hardly nothing. But He says here, we have to diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to observe and do all His statutes in Exodus 15:26. Now, if God demanded that we hearken to His word under the old covenant, do you think He's changed His mind in the new covenant? I don't think so. Let's see what happened to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 16 when he didn't do what God says. Under the law, he was the king under 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. How would you like to have the Spirit of God depart from you and an evil spirit from God come to torment you? You don't want that either, do you, David? No, I don't either. But is that what the Word of God says? People say, well, God wouldn't do nothing like that to me. Well, now let me tell you, He did it to Saul. If He's no respecter of persons, you know what? What Saul ticked off the king. He kept doing things that God told him not to do. And he kept doing them. And one day, he ticked off the Lord. And so the Lord pulled His spirit, and He sent an evil spirit over there and said, let me see if I can get your attention with this devil. And He sent an evil spirit to torment Saul. Well, these spirits that are sent to us, they're our enemy. But we only get these fellows when we don't walk in the God kind of love. Now, when we walk in the God kind of love, you really don't have to be concerned about these evil spirits, because if one of them does come by your house, all you got to do is tell him where to go, and he has to leave. He cannot stay at your house when you're walking in the God kind of love. God tells us this in His Word. But in Acts 10:38, let's go back to the New Testament. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Now, how was it that Jesus was able to heal the sick? Because the Spirit of God was with Him. Did Jesus have any sin in his life? Not any. So if Jesus had no sin in his life and the Spirit of God was upon him to heal the sick and to do all these wonderful things, then if you will purify yourself from all sin and stop sinning, God will put that same Spirit upon you where you can heal the sick in his name. You can walk in that power. I only dream so far of where I want to be. You know, I only dream of being where I know is available, and I know the answer. To get there, I mean, I think of the days I have fasted and prayed in my life to get where I am, and the hours I have spent with God to be able to pray the prayer of faith for people, and I think that just every once in a while, God will do something so spectacular in my life. It will whet my appetite so. And he said, now, son, if you'll just keep fasting and praying, this is just a touch of what I can do. Just a touch. I mean, you know, when I have the privilege to pray, a black man in Manny, Louisiana, two or three years ago, legs crushed. Never going to walk again. And they brought this Baptist man over there with him steel braces on his legs. And I got the privilege to walk over there and lay my hands on that man and pray for him and watch God instantly heal two crushed knees and watch that guy get up in 2 minutes after he takes them steel braces off, running up and down the aisles of the church, screaming, God is awesome. Is that awesome? I mean, that, you know, when that happened, or like the other day, when I got the privilege to pray over the telephone for Dr. Gary Young out there in Salt Lake City, Utah, with a broken back and fell out of a tree 35 foot tall, and I prayed the prayer of faith for him, and God instantly healed him. Didn't he, Eldon? Eldon is a good friend of his, and right after God healed him, he went with him to Ecuador to set up a college curriculum, and they were down there, and God instantly healed that man's crushed back. You know what? I would love to be able to see God do everybody like that I touch in the name of Jesus. Wouldn't you, Bobby? Well, why is it don't happen with everybody? Like my lovely wife says, you have not paid the price. You've not paid the price. Well, fasting and praying is where it lies. Are you willing to pay that price? Let me tell you, it's costly. You know what it takes out of your life to just take a week and lock yourself up for 2 weeks or 3 weeks and just don't do nothing but drink water and read the Word of God and pray? That's something else. If you haven't tried that lately, try it. It will change your life, I guarantee you. It'll change your, but it'll bring God on the scene. And you'll get to see Him do some great and awesome things. But I know in the future. Cheryl told me the other day, she said, honey, why don't you just take a day at a time, or a week. Why don't you do something, or 2 or 3 days at a time. Just lock yourself up with God. Get in there and lock yourself up in your office. Don't let nobody in. Just stay in there day and night and pray and fast and seek God. She wants to see me walk in this power. She's seen enough. The very first weekend we got married, we went to New Mexico to preach the Word of God. And the very first woman she and I walked up to that night to pray over, she'd been in a wheelchair for 8 years. And Cheryl got to see God heal that woman, and she'd go running all over the church, floors over. She'd been handicapped in that wheelchair for 8 years. And we got to see God heal that woman that night. If that won't whet your appetite to serve God, let me tell you what, your wood's wet. Isn't that right, Don? I mean, it just makes me shiver and tremble to think about the privilege I've had to see God answer these prayers like that. But do you want to stay where you are? Not me. But it's costly to go on. But the things of the world, you got to give them all up. You know, you got to give up the things of the world. You got to forget that stuff. Then Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Exodus 23:25, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless your bread and your water, and He will take sickness away from the midst of you. You know, we don't have to have sickness, do we? All we got to do is walk in obedience to His Word. Now, as a son or a daughter of God, when that devil comes upon you with sickness and disease, you got to take the Word and make sure you've repented of everything known to man and maybe things you don't even know, and then take the Word of God and faith and drive that devil out. And if you stand on the Word of God, that devil's got to leave and you got to get your healing as a child of God. But every miracle don't happen like it does with this family over here. He prayed that they repented, they prayed the prayer of faith, and how long did it take his little girl to get healed? 3 minutes. Now that's the way Gina would like to see God do it every time, isn't it? But He don't do it like that every time, does He? No, He doesn't. For Ed Brock, it didn't happen like that, did it, David? We prayed the prayer of faith for them that night. We went out of there that night. We didn't see God do a single thing. We didn't have a clue what was going to happen. I didn't. Did you?
No,
I didn't have a clue. That was my first experience with anointing with oil healing. Was it yours? Yours too. You were just like I was. I had never seen that done before. But that was my first experience. But I did watch Ed Brock start getting well. And I did watch Ed Brock get completely well. And when Ed went down to Houston, after he started getting better, the doctor said, "We don't understand, this thing's going away. You can go to Houston now and take chemo and you might be okay." And so we didn't have enough faith to know what to do. So he started going down there and taking chemo. But after he got completely well, in a matter of about 6 months, Ruthie had brought him the New Testament on tape, and he was listening to it going back and forth, that 4-hour drive each way. That last trip down there, when the doctors checked him and said, "We don't understand this, Mr. Brock. We've had several patients with the same type of chemo or same type of a cancer that you had. We give them the exact same doses of chemo we gave you. You responded so tremendously," but he said, "every one of them died. But you got well. We don't understand this." He goes out and gets in his car. They said, "You have no cancer left in your body. No use to come back for at least 6 months." Ed said he was so happy. He goes out and gets in the car and starts down the road and reaches over and pushes the play button. And this is what came on. "Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick." And then he said the tape recorder stopped. And I heard God say, "Ed, it wasn't M.D. Anderson that healed you. It was me." Ed said, "I couldn't drive. I couldn't see. I had to pull off the side of the road and stop as the tears come running out of my eyes." Is God a merciful God? Yes. Amen. And of course, God was doing a work in Ed's life. He was doing a work in my life. I'm going to tell you, only God knew at Lake and Bevis Church in 1986 when he healed Ed Brock what he was going to do and the fire he was going to light in me.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.